Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Okay, we continue with the special series. We are here in Youngers of Long Beach. We're going to practice social justice and affirmative action and compensate the long-neglected biblical criminal community. That's right. They're in the Torah just as long as the good guys and haven't had, you know, equal attention, right? And we're setting that right in this special series that we're giving here. Last time we spoke about the first bad guy in history, we spoke about the Nachash, the snake, right? And that was, I believe it's posted on the Shul website. Today we get to the second bad guy in history of the world. Who was that?
Cain.
Cain, correct, Cain. You know, it's pretty severe. He was jealous that his brother's sacrifice was accepted. His wasn't. And because of that, he killed the Hevel. It's pretty severe. You have to understand where he was coming from, what he was thinking. And after all, let's not forget, this is a guy who just brought a korban. You know, he wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants to be seemingly a righteous and religious fellow. And this is a person who speaks to God, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses him right after his sacrifice wasn't accepted and tells him, listen, it's up to you. You try and tativ seis. Right, if you struggle, if you do good, right, you'll be able to, overcome all your challenges. It's all in your hands. Right, and he hears that directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the person on such a madrega goes and kills his own brother. It's quite it's something that really needs to be understood. But here's the amazing thing. You know, he cut a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't give him a din, a halacha of a horeg b'mezid. He gave him a din of a horeg nefesh b'shkaga, right? And of course, the Mefarshim say, because really, he had a good taina. I never saw a dead person before. I didn't know that a person could die, right? So he was a shoygeg, right? So he got a din, he got the halacha of a horeg nefesh b'shkaga. No v'nod tiyeh ba'aretz. You go into golus, like...
But the prohibition against murder was one of the six laws that Adam was given.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
He attempted to murder, and he was successful in murder.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's obviously it got commuted to that type of halacha because he expressed some level of regret.
Beis Din
Shalmala is allowed to do these things.
Exactly.
Right. The Beis Din Shalmala just goes, I'll pee Adam and Asra. Right. Right. Cain got a commuted sentence. He wasn't charged as like someone who killed first degree manslaughter. He got a commuted sentence as unintentional manslaughter.
Exile was his
punishment. No vinotia baretz, you're going to wander. And even that he got a discount on that also. He didn't have to be perpetually on the move. Vaye shev be'eretz node, right? And Chazal say that even that he got because he did some measure of tshuva, so the na part was cut off, just there was the nod, and hence vaye shev be'eretz node, he was allowed to build himself a life in exile. And and interestingly enough, he did. And he set up a whole bloodline. And these guys were doers, right? The whole bloodline of Cain is the beginning of technology and trade, as we know it. You know, it's black on white in the Chumash. It's not Cain himself had started with agriculture and then moved into architecture. Vayi Boneir, right? And he has a grandson, Lemech, who has two wives, Ada and Tzila, and Yavol, who Ada had, perfected herding. Right? And Yuval was his brother, did music. He perfected music, Tofes, Kinar, V'ugav, and those were the sons of Ada. And then Tzila, she has two Volkain, metalwork. Right, the metal Bronze Age starts here, right? So they had a explosion of technology, And, you know, the other bloodline, the companion bloodline of Chase, because Adam reconciled with Chava 130 years later. They got together. So Chase, Vayod bid Musa b'tzalon, Chase, who was praised as being in the divine image of Adam, which we don't find that term by any of Adam's other children. So, Chase, then there's Enosh, Chanoch. They don't do anything. The Bnei Kayin, right, the Kayin's bloodline, they're the ones who develop the arts, right, and technology. Right, they're the doers, right, and the bloodline of Chase, it's not clear. You know, we know, because Chazal tell us, right, that they were more refined, more holy, right, but, you know, somehow that, for reasons that we need to explain tonight, it didn't express itself in their contribution, right, to, Yeshuvah Shel Olam, settling the world, seemingly. But there was one exception. They hit on an invention that the Bnei Kayin missed. There was a great grandson of Chase. You've heard of him. His name was Noach. He was called Zayin Nachamenu. They called him when he was born. Right? He's going to, give us a little bit of a rest, a little bit of, he's going to bring down the level of curse, that how God cursed the earth after the sin of Adam, of kots v'dardar tatzviach, that, agriculture is going to be very hard. You're going to grow thorns and thickets and weeds. It's not going to be simple. And Noach somehow alleviated the problem. What did Noach do? So that's what the pasuk says. Zayin Nachamenu Maser, he's going to bring a little bit of alleviation, right, and lessen, mitigate the problem of the curse of the land that was as a result of the sin of Adam. So what does Rashi say in the name of Chazal? He invented the plow. Hechenlem clay macharesha, the plowing instruments, Noach invented that. That's amazing, because the other bloodline, the Kayin people, they were into agriculture from the first one himself, Kayin. And they were into metalwork. Why didn't they think of the plow? Right, the guy, the farmer, should tell the guy in the metalwork, it would really make my life easier if you could make these kalim for me, and it'll be easy for me to farm. They missed it. Right. Noach figured it out. So this bloodline that, as a rule, didn't really contribute much, at all, as far as the expansion of technology and the arts, they get the plow. Those guys who were doing a lot, producing a lot, making all these new inventions, they missed the plow. How do we explain that? Okay. So, why is Kayin called Kayin? Right, so, there are different pshatim, but the simple reading of the pasuk is, Vodom Yodas Chava Ishto, man who once got together with Chava's wife, Vatar Vateres Kayin, Vatomer Kanisi Ish Es Hashem. I have acquired a man with Hashem. So two pshotim, just to understand the simple meaning of words, Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says, I am Es Hashem, as in I have acquired a man together with Hashem. Hashem created Adam all by himself, and he created Chava, Eve, all by himself. Here, Kayin, we are partners with God, because like Chazal say, Gimel Shufin Bodom, three partners in making a human being, the father and mother, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So over here, I have also a chelek over here. I got a piece of the action over here, together with God. Kanisi Ish Es Hashem, right? I have a kinyan, I have stocks in this kid, Kayin, together with Hashem, and nothing's possible without Hashem, but I contributed also, as opposed to Adam and Chava that were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. Now, that's Rashi's pshat. The Ramban says a slightly different thing. Kanisi Ish Es Hashem, I have acquired a man to serve God. Because, interestingly enough, after the sin, so God decreed death. They're not going to be immortal anymore, Adam and Chava. She was concerned you know, I'm only going to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu so long as I live. Who will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu after I'm gone? And he says, no, now I have a continuation. Kanisi Ish, I have acquired another person to continue for me, Es Hashem, to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's just amazing. That's what was on her mind. Who will worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu after I'm gone? Now I have someone to continue, you know, my legacy of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But like either meaning, it's about kinyan, acquisition, ownership. Right? Whether it's owning a descendant that will carry on the legacy, or having a part in his formation, in his creation. What's it? Having, owning. And call them, therefore, kayin. Right? Now, this is a very interesting, interesting word, right? There's two verbs in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, that they're almost the same letters, but they, on the surface, don't mean anything alike. There's kana, kuf nun he, which is the way it's being said over here by the naming of kayin, the knot, right, to acquire, every acquisition. And then there's kana, kuf nun aleph, right, instead of the he, have an aleph at the end. What does that mean?
Jealousy.
So, same word, just one letter different. Phonetically the same, right? Kana and kana. Kana with, hey, with the letter hey at the end is to acquire, to own, right? Kana with an aleph at the end means jealousy, right? It also means something else, right? It could mean anger, right? Or to take retribution. Tachas asher kine le'elokav v'yechaper al b'neiso, but that was the positive type of zealotry by Pinchas. You know, he took a stance, right, and didn't tolerate what Zimri was doing with Cosby, you know, in front of everybody. He was mekayim the din of kanoim pogimbo, and he didn't tolerate that. Right, Eliyahu HaNavi subsequently, and some say Pinchas was Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaNavi subsequently says when he was sent on a mission from God, right, to rebuke the kingdom of Israel, Kano ki nesi la Hashem, right, I am a zealot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, there's a, it also means zealotry. Right, and to try to see maybe what the common denominator is, right, between, you know, jealousy, zealotry, and how, you know, it's so close to the word kana. And in, you know, the topic of our discussion tonight, right, kayin, right, kayin, that's exactly what happens. He starts off from kanisi ishes Hashem. He is called kayin because of the idea of acquisition, right? Now, without making things complicated, the simple storyline, just from the words of the Chumash, is he fell into jealousy, right? Because God accepted, you know, Hevel's offering. It's black and white in the Chumash. His problem was jealousy, right? And from jealousy, it went to a type of zealotry that was uncalled for, right? Called murder, right? Right, something that something that needs to be, reflected upon. Now, so everyone knows the pasuk says that Cain brought me pri ha'adama. He brought his offering. He brought from amongst what the ground grew. Whereas hevo evi gamhu mi b'choros tzono u'mechel behen. He bought from his sheaves into shepherding, but he bought from the best. So the Torah, without saying it, implied it very strongly, and Rashi confirms this, right? That if Hevel, it says Hevel brought the best. It doesn't say any such thing by Kayin. So that means he didn't bring the best. He brought the worst. Right? And you figure out by contrast, the Torah stresses Hevel brought the best, Kayin brought the worst. Right? And then Kayin just doesn't understand. So what's going on with Kayin? Right. So this is black and white in the Chumash. Kayin brought the worst thing, to sacrifice the Kodesh. Well, some say Rashi brings it was flax, pishtun. It's In some of the books of the Kabbalists, they point at this as one of the spiritual reasons behind the Isur of Shatnez, right? Shouldn't have wool and linen together, because Cain and Hevel don't get along, right? Cain bought flax, right? Linen, right? Hevel bought from a sheep, that's wool. That's why Isur Shatnez, Cain and Hevel don't get along. That's the Sfarim say that. But the... But here's the thing that I want to say. What, are you surprised? Right. So God doesn't want to accept your carbon because you brought him the worst stuff. Right. You didn't bring him your best fruits. You brought him anything from average minus. Right. Hevel brings his best stuff. So why are you disappointed? What were you expecting? What's Cain thinking? I need to drink my coffee, so I want to suggest something. Okay. Right, but here's the question. He's disappointed. He brought the worst. He brought the best, of course. You know, he cared enough to bring the best, so God accepts his offering. He doesn't accept your offering. Right. So now it's very interesting. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Cain's upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Cain and says, right, listen, if you do good, the Yetzirah will leave you, right? And if not, you know, so, of course, reckoning is at the door, or sin is at the door, however you want to read this, right? The Yetzirah may always be after you, but you could control him. Right? That's the response, you know. Cain is disappointed that bringing a bad carbon wasn't accepted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and, you know, addressing the problem that he's upset, you know, gives him this, it's a pep talk. Do good, you'll be good. All right, if you don't do good, you'll fail. I just tell him, listen, next time bring better stuff. Okay, so let's talk about jealousy. And how jealousy and anger really are come from the same root. Define jealousy.
Somebody has something that I want. I wish I had that thing as well.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's the real definition. We talk that way, but the truth is, if you want what he wants, so go out and earn it. Go out and buy it or steal it. Jealousy is something else. It's personal. You're not jealous of the art. You're jealous of him. It's an amazing thing. There's the, you know, the, you know, there's a joke. You know, heard it from a Russian immigrant. He says that there's a joke they say in Russia, right? That God reveals himself to, you know, three people. And it offers each one a wish. So one guy says, I want a lot of money. Another guy says, you know, I don't want a lot of money. That doesn't speak to me. But I want to own a lot of land. I want to have my own country. Okay. Comes to the third guy. Says, what do you want? Says, look, I'm a modest man. Right? I don't have any such grandiose desires. But I'll tell you one thing, God. My neighbor has a goat, and I don't. Kill my neighbor's goat. Right? That's jealousy. Right? You're never jealous of an object. You're jealous of a person. Right? And it's something amazing to think about. Right? The Chazal tells us, Hakina v'atava v'akavod. Motzina sa'ada mina olam, right? Jealousy, which could also be read as anger, right? And we're going to explain the common denominator between the two. And desire and the seeking of honor, it takes a person out of the world, meaning it ruins a person's life. Right? It ruins a person's life, both in this world and in the next. Motzina sa'ada mina olam. So you see that kina and tava are not the same thing, right? Just like he has something, I want that object also. That's tava. A kina is its own category. Tava means desire. So a desire, you know, whether you want this and that, that's tava. Kina is something else. It's its own evil. Right. These three things, hakina, vatava, kava, get paraphrased elsewhere in Pirkei Avos. And the Maharal points this out. And it says, talking about the difference between Avram Avinu's students and the students of Bilam HaRasha. Right? So it says that, you know, the Avram Avinu's students, they have a nefesh shfala. Right? You know, they, right? They're not, they don't desire much. They don't desire much. Whereas opposed to the people that follow Bilam, they have a nefesh rechava. They have a great deal of desire. So it's referred to as nefesh, right? Nefesh rechava, right? And all the mefarshim say it means desire, right? Like we say in the Gemara, vim nafshech alomer, if you want to say, or mimon nafshech, either way, you want, right? So nefesh, right? They don't want a lot, you know, the followers of Avram Avinu, the followers of Bilam, they want a lot, right? The Talmid of Avram Avinu have a ruach shfala, right? Right, ruach nemucha, excuse me. They're not haughty. They're humble. Humble, right? The Talmid of Bilam HaRasha, they have a ruach gevoah. They're always looking for honor, right? It's called high spirit, high spirited, right? And that's kavod, right? And then we come to the Talmidim of Avram Avinu are Baalei Ayin Tova. Right? They look favorably on everybody and everything. The Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha are Baalei Ayin Hara. They have an evil eye. And says the Maharal, that's parallel to the Kinnah. That what we call Ayin Hara. You know, people, you know, have you ever heard the concept Ayin Hara? Right? You know, right, you know, and they look unfavorably, you know, so that's why, you know, Chazal tell us to take caution, don't flaunt your wealth, don't show off, people are watching and they're not looking favorably, and it has lethal effects, as Gemara Bar Metzia says, 99 of 100 people die from Ayin Hara. It's the bad energy, really, that fills the world, that makes people sick and makes these bad things happen. All right, but we see something that kina, and the, you know, the Maharal points this out, you know, these parallels. Kina is ayin hara, you know, it's like tava is ruach gevoah, right? And tava is nefesh rechava. So we're beginning to see pieces of the puzzle that jealousy is an issue of perspective. It's ayin hara, right? It's not desire like nefesh rechava. It's something else. So we call ayin hara. And it's interestingly enough that, you know, if you take a look at the words that the Mishnah used, nefesh rechava, ruach gevoah, nefesh, ruach, and what everyone who knows these terms knows there's a third term that comes up in the series, nefesh, ruach, neshama, right? That there are three levels of soul, three primary levels of soul, nefesh that's in the body, ruach that's part in and part, and neshama that's, you know, shines on top of your head. As it were, it's the crowning level, the highest level of soul. And, you know, nefesh, from nefesh comes desire, and from ruach comes haughtiness. And from the neshama, the highest aspect of a person, which is, you know, the spiritual root of the intellect, from there comes ayin ra, from there that comes kina. Which means it's more in the mind. All right? It's not desire. It's something else. It's a whole perspective. It's an evil perspective. Now, what do I mean? Right. You know, going back to kana, what's yours? Right, to make a kin, acquisition. You know, your acquisitions are the result of your choices and what you do and what you strive for, or do you own things by inalienable right? Or maybe it's like this. Really, everything really, really belongs to me, right? Taking in the inalienable right idea, privilege. I call it today privilege, right? Taking it a little bit further. Maybe really everything really should be mine, and the rest of the people in the world are really depleting my resources. What's called to own? So the Jewish perspective, right, is that the ownership is a product of achievement. That's our whole life in this world. God wants to bestow goodness upon us. That's why he created the world. So the Ramchal tells us, and you know, this, this may sound hard to the 21st century person, said, but to really make it good, he made you work for it. No handouts. It's not, no social benefits. All right? That's the way it should be really, really good.
Earned.
All right? So it shouldn't be bread of shame. I feel like charity. So why couldn't God just create us without this hang-up of not being able to take charity well? And then the problem is solved. But they had to make us work. That's what Ramchal says, right? So God made us work, so it should be like, you know, it should be the best because you have the satisfaction that you earned it. Take away, you know, the hang-up that you don't relate to charity, which somehow, by the way, today's people, the world of today has overcome this hang-up, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they really have.
What?
They don't know what it means.
I don't know, whatever it is. They're definitely demanding it.
It's the pleasure of earning something through hard work.
They're definitely demanding it, right?
Because they think it's superficially appealing. That's why it's the easy it's the easier route. But I think it's human nature that if they would experience what it means to enjoy the fruits of your labor, I think that's what they would strive for. But they don't.
Billions of people, right? Yeah, so it seems we've overcome the mankind's overcome it, but it's not really a hang up. Because it makes no difference about how a person feels. It's a whole different perspective of what's called yours. Right? Judaism teaches us what's yours is what you earned. Anything else is not yours. Right? You can't. It doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to you because you worked for it and because you earned it. That's why.
About, you know, supposedly the people who win the lottery are miserable.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
Because then they don't feel accomplished. In other words, they're very wealthy now, but they don't feel they really deserve it or did anything to really earn it.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't give them enjoyment.
All right, but now this is certainly so when it comes to spiritual achievement. Spiritual achievement. Because we're supposed to perfect ourselves and make ourselves, hopefully we should die holier than the way we were born. You know, spiritual achievement that's called now, I'm a better person, or I have a more refined character, that you understand for sure. A refined character is something that's earned through hard work, and it's called that you acquired that good character trait because you work for it, and the working for it makes it a part of you. Right? A person who was just born pure, a person who was just born with a very, very mild, tame nature, he's not getting Olam Haba for that because he was born that way. He's going to get his Olam Haba for whatever he added to himself. That's why he called what he was Kone. And that's why Chazal talk about Yesh Kone Olamo B'Sha'achas. But they always talk about being Kone. They always talk about Olam Haba is not a piece of real estate. Olam Haba is an acquisition.
It also sounds like Kol Yisrael Yeshlem.
Yeshlem.
Sounds like they start off with it.
Okay, so in my Sefer, I've addressed the issue, but even the Rambam at least understands that's not for free, that you get because you are a believer. So there's a certain amount of work done that the Rambam understands, the believers in the Yud Gimel Ikrim that he lays out, just by virtue of believing in them, have a Chelek Olam Haba. So there is a certain quid pro quo that it's because you're a believer that you have, and then if you want more than that, you have to work and you have to do. But you get that not also, even that's not for free, that's because you believe. That's the schar for emuna. Right? That's the Rambam's approach. Now, I'm simplifying. I have a whole entry on this in my Sefer. I donated one to the Beis Medrash here. Right? But but Judaism's perspective is that that acquisition, general spiritual acquisition, which is the real reason why we're created for, because that's the eternal world, that's only through work. Right? Just the opposite. You're not going to get paid anything for what you were born with. Right? What you're born with, those are your tools. You're going to get, you know, paid for what you work for, which includes something very, very harsh, which can only be done through hard work to change your nature. Right? So even a person who's born with a great nature, great personality, you know, he's not, you know, not selfish and, you know, not haughty and, you know, pleasure to get along with, right? I mean, there once were people like that, right? So he doesn't get paid for that. He gets paid for how he added and he improved that, right? But it goes against the idea of, wait a minute, that's me. You ever hear that one? That's me. That's me. Deal with it.
I am who I am.
What?
I am who I am.
Right. The antithesis of what Torah is all about. Because Torah is all about perpetually changing and acquiring, you know, new spiritual assets, new positive character traits, right? But the jealous guy, right? He's not thinking acquisition. He's not thinking kana with a hey, right? Acquiring, you know, you never think, well, he has it because he worked for it, and I'll have whatever I work for. He's talking about, you know, we say in Yiddish, kumtsumir. I got it coming to me, right? Really, I got the whole world coming to me. And if he has something, right, that I don't have, he is in effect stealing from me because I should have everything. And you're not, and it's not even that you want that object. You get mad at him. The person that you're jealous of, I mean, not you. No one here is jealous. I know, I can feel it. No one here has ever experienced jealousy, right? But I'll try to explain it to you. I know it'll be hard for you to relate to, right? But when you're jealous of someone, you're out to destroy them. You're not out to get that particular object. You're out to sabotage them, you know, to, you know, knock them in every... It's personal because you view this person as a threat, right? So, you know, so even if it's that one object, you know, that he... But okay, so even if you'll get a car like he has or you'll steal his car, whichever, but he's still around and he's going to take something else that you feel should be yours. So the jealous person that goes with the concept of inalienable right or entitlement, what do they call it today? They call it entitlement, right? Right? You know, big words, bad word, big bad word, right? You know, entitlement, and he shouldn't have it. It's not so much that, you know, it's not about the particular car or job, it's he shouldn't have it. He is a threat to me because it should be by me, and even if this particular thing, but he'll still be around and take something else that I feel should be by me and not by him. So he has a concept of ownership, but a very, you know, a sick one, right? That there's an issue of entitlement, and he is infringing on your entitlement. You got to get rid of him. Right? And that's called ayin hara. That's really what ayin hara is, right? Ayin hara is, you know, looking at the world with this perspective that people don't deserve what they rightfully own. And it's a really lethal energy that pollutes the cosmos. And that's what Chazal tell us. 99 out of 100 people actually die from ayin hara. Because it's a very negative energy that spreads throughout the world. It's called ayin hara because it's issue of, not just because it's issue of perspective, but the Torah teaches us that the eyes are the window to the world. It's a two-way window, just like you absorb information, but like you also, your bad energy, your dark energy inside of you, you release onto the world, you know, also through your eyes, as they say, if looks could kill. Right? Ever heard that one? Right? You know, first, like, gave a poisonous glance, darted a poisonous glance. And it's true. It's all true. It pollutes the world, makes the world a horrible place. and this is like rooted already in a person's perception of reality, right? And this comes, like we say, from the highest place of soul, or it's a perversion of the highest place of soul. Right, that a person's, you know, perception of reality is, you know, everything kumtsamir, everything should be mine, everything belongs to me, right? And anyone else who's walking the globe is really depleting my world, right? Stealing from me. Right? I'm sorry, Rebbe, you had a question.
What's the defense against ayin hara?
Oh, well, first of all, be somui min ayin, right? First of all, hide yourself from.
If you can't.
Right, you can. Definitely don't flaunt. If you have it, don't flaunt it. Do not flaunt it, right? Fine. So I could show you in the Siddur a few lachashim, and that one could say, which is from Yura Chassid, is from the Chida. I could do it for you. What?
Are they potent?
I mean, problem is like this: you do it, it takes a while, but you know, but the guy, the Baal Ayin Ra, he's always there. You know, you you have to do it like a few times a day sometimes. What?
How do you cure such a thing?
Yeah. The world has to be cured.
Yeah,
the sick mentality has to be removed from the earth. That will be the final cure. But the but there are lachashim to say. But you know, as I say, but if you still live amongst ayin hara, you could say the lachash. But then that helps the problems today. But what about tomorrow's ayin hara? And the ayin hara, it's a problem. It's not a good idea to live amongst people that are perpetually jealous of you. It's, you know, it's a lot of bad energy if they don't actually do something worse to you. Right? So the person who's jealous has a sick perspective, that he has the perspective of entitlement as opposed to acquisition. It's also an idea of ownership, but...
Okay, let's ask you about...
Yes?
Well, just out of curiosity, what are the psukim?
What? So in some of the Siddurim, there's one printed in the Zmiris of Motzei Shabbos from Yura Chassid. Not all Siddurim have, I'll show it to you. And if you want, I have at home, I have from the Chida, and I have a few others.
I'm not saying even for practical, just in terms of the content, it would be an interesting just perspective thematically on what's the antidote to it.
Yeah, okay, but these... No, so it's like that. Negat Soroski is Ram Bluva Kohen, Nachna Rachel. I know the spell, but.
The Kohen is the antidote.
Yeah, but it's all a bunch of psukim that start with Nun. I'll show it to you, but the. Okay, so with here, okay. So, yeah, so another way of saying the. Explaining the jealous mind is simply. He lacks tolerance, right, of anyone, basically anyone else, who he feels might be a threat and be encroaching on his world, right? Matter of fact, you know, Chazal say one of the many motivations of Cain to kill Hevel was that he wanted to inherit the earth all for himself. You know, Chazal said, the Rishonim bring it, it's one of his, you know, he really didn't want to share the world. So there are those that say that black and white. All right, but we're going to go thread this through already in the what happened over there with the Korbanos, right? You know, and what God told Cain when he was upset that his Korban wasn't accepted. Right, but the jealous mind, the idea of entitlement, right? Not acquisition, but owning, and owning not because of earning, not because of acquisition, but by entitlement. All right, besides the fact that you don't look favorably on any other human being, right, because they are stealing your entitlement, they're thieves. Right? So it's not about the objects that they have that you don't, it's about them. Right? Because even if it is, you take that object away from them today, you know, but they'll gather up other assets tomorrow. It's about them, eliminating them. Right, so they are in the lacking tolerance of others. Right? And of course, you know, that leads to anger. Right? But you know, there's another thing, right? The Mesillas Yesharim tells us, as does Reb Chaim Vital in the Sharia Kedusha, right, that the sense of any type of haughtiness, like entitlement is no exception, that's what actually leads to anger. Anger is a product, right, of the sense that, hey, no one should be stepping on my toes. Right? A person, you know, feels that he doesn't have to negotiate, and he doesn't have to compromise, right, and he doesn't have to tolerate. Those are the people who get angry. It's an ego problem. Anger comes from an ego problem. As a person who suffers from a sense of entitlement is inevitably going to get angry. And it's a vicious cycle because anger exacerbates the problem. Because Chazal tells us about HaKois. Right? When a person gets angry, oof, He knows no limits. Kol HaKoes, Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah, anyone who falls into anger, it's as if he serves idols, because even God can't stop him, right? He's out of control. When a person falls into anger, and in Chacham Hu, Chachmaso Mistalekes, Vim Navi Hu, Nivwasas, and if he's a wise man, when he's angry, he loses all his wisdom. Every time a person's angry, he's not thinking straight. So the wise man loses his wisdom, and a prophet who falls into anger loses his prophecy while he's angry. So you're not going to think this through and understand the idea that you got to earn it in order to own it. And it's not about entitlement, it's about earning. And everyone has what they earned. No one has anything else. A person who falls into anger doesn't have, the capacity to hear that message, which is a message you really have to think about, to appreciate, and to internalize. So it goes both ways. The entitlement leads to anger, and vice versa, right? To anger, when a person falls to anger, they're not going to find solutions. And you're not going to be able to talk rationally and explain this to him, that it's not about having, it's about earning. So this we explain why jealousy has to do with anger, right? And jealousy is in effect the idea of sense of entitlement, and therefore intolerance of anyone that you view might be stealing from you your entitlements, and they're stealing it from you just by their very existence, because the man's got to eat, right? So he's got to take something from my world, right? Now, really, this is what it means, sinat chinam. Everyone wants, what the term means, hating someone for no reason. Sinat chinam is, actually jealousy. Right? Yes, you could hate someone for no reason because you view him as a threat to your existence just by the virtue of fact that he's there. Right? Now, you got to share with him. Now, you could hate a person just for that reason, not because of anything he did for you in particular. Right? So really, the sinat chinam mind is the jealous mind. Right? You're following me on that? Okay. the jealous mind, that's not just his ayin hara, vis-a-vis the way he looks at the world, looking at the world, begrudging everyone what they have, even though there's no sense in that. Everyone has what they have because they earned it. Right? But no, he feels, it's an issue of entitlement, and I'm the entitled. All right, so
that's, is that true that everyone has in the world? Let's say someone is born into a very wealthy family. Is that called earning it? I guess it is.
It's called because there's a law of inheritance. It's on the law books. It's a law. And it's not called Namar Kisufa either, because his father earned it for himself and for his family. So it was called that it was earned through good hard work, because a person earns, he earns for himself and for his dependents. Right? So that's why schus avos is not namar kisufa. We say everyone has to do their mitzvahs, that your olam haba should be rightfully earned, but we invoke schus avos. No, what a father earns, he earns for himself and for his descendants. So it's called rightfully earned. You earn for yourself and for your family and for all those who are your continuation. It's all called rightfully earned. Okay, but let's talk about how a person views himself. How the jealous mind looks at himself. So there's an issue of entitlement, So, he doesn't have to earn. He's also vis-a-vis himself. He doesn't have to refine his character. I am who I am. This is the way God created me. Right? As a matter of fact, that's like the most basic sense of entitlement. Right? I am who I am, and I don't have to change. This is who I am. The rest of the world has to accept me for who I am. Deal with it. This is who I am. This is me. That's the way God created me. Right, so that type of mindset vis-a-vis the person himself, so he doesn't see why he has to work, why he has to change, why he has to strive. Right? And everyone else had better just cope, right, with his bad midas. That's the way God made me. Deal with it. So now, getting to Cain's mind, and understand how, the jealous mind. So it started with, the idea of ownership, Kanisi Isis Hashem, but Cain doesn't go down the road of Kana with a hay. Right? He goes down the road of Kana with an aleph, jealousy. And, you know, listen, God created the good produce, God created the bad produce. Does it make a difference to God if I give him the bad stuff or the good stuff? Why do I have to lose money and sacrifice the best fruits? Right? He created it all. He doesn't really need it, right? He doesn't need anything. I give him the worst fruits also. My ish. Right? Don't have to do any effort.
He won't mind.
What? He won't mind. Right? I didn't have to give it to him. He should be happy with what I give him. Right? Hevel, you know, immediately the best stuff. Right? Even though God doesn't need anything, but still I want to show. I want to do. I want to show God I love him. Right? And Cain can't accept the idea that, you know, you have to do more than what you feel like doing and what comes natural. And that's and HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually is zooming in on the problem. You know, Cain can't understand why God rejected his offering. Right? Say thank you, offer you something, I didn't have to give it to you. Right? Didn't you create the bad stuff as just as much as you created the good stuff? If you would only want the good stuff, you wouldn't have created the bad stuff. So why can't I sacrifice the bad stuff to you? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, zooms in directly in the, on the problem. And says, you know, let's deal with the root of the problem. Haloim teitiv se'es, v'im lava petachatas rovet. You know what your problem is, Cain? You don't want to work. Right? You don't want, and the hardest work is to change your nature. And to do, right? If you do good, right, you'll accomplish, right? And if you don't do good, right? You know, so sin is at the door. You know, if you're not willing to fight your nature, you're not willing to fight your yetzer, not willing to fight your natural tendencies. You know, the entitlement mind just wants to do what's natural. Isn't that another word that they say? Well, it's natural. I mean, for every hashkasa in the world, it's natural. Right? It's like another word that they use, together with entitlement. But it's natural. Right? We're meant to change our nature. We're meant to overcome our nature. There's nothing more natural than the Yetzer Hara. And we're meant to overcome it, subdue it. Not give in to our natural impulses. Not say, well, God created me with these impulses. This is the way he must want me. No. God created you with these impulses that you should overcome them. And that's your acquisition. And that's your attainment. And that's your kinyan. And that's why you will own your olam haba. Because you work so hard, right, to go against your nature. And that's why Karshul zooms in directly to the problem. You can't do what comes naturally. You can't do what you feel like doing. Right? You're going to have to overcome. And that's what we have to tell anyone who has, you know, particularly difficult character traits. Right? We have to make them aware that they're actually sitting on a wellspring of opportunity. Right? Because a person who doesn't have much character to perfect, he's not going to get paid for work that he didn't do. So you're born perfect. So that wasn't, obviously, that's not that person's job in life. A person was born to achieve and to make a difference. And if you don't have to change your character for whatever reason, halavaita should be people like that, you're not going to be paid for having a good character that you were just born with. The people that complain, I'm ADHD, or I have this hang up and that hang up, right? They're sitting on a wealth of opportunity, right? That the extent that they cope with these challenges they're born with, it's a olam haba cash cow, right? To cope with these things and overcome these things, you get paid everywhere you look. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Cain. Because even though the Zohar says, Cain, Kina de Masavusa, Cain also means a nest. Cain Tzipor. And he was a nest of impurity. Right? That in a certain sense, Cain did not get a fair deal. In a certain, you can understand Cain's bitterness. He didn't get a fair deal, the Zohar says. Right? That, you know, after Adam and Chava sinned, and it's called metaphorically that the sin was called that the Nachash was Ba'al Chava, that the Nachash, as it were, put contamination into Chava, and then that contamination went to, you know, mankind and ensuing generations. That's where all our bad tendencies come from. And it wasn't a fair deal. It was not a fair deal. Right? Cain got really dumped on with a lot of bad character traits. He was Kina de Misavusa, as Zohar says, a nest of impurity, a nest of defilement. He had a lot of work to do. Right? But HaKadosh was telling him, Tetiv Se'es, right, if you're willing to carry this, if you can carry this, if you could overcome, right, you'll be paid at a tremendous amount. Right? The more challenges a person has, the more opportunity he really has to earn Olam Haba. He has more opportunity for achievement. And a person should never be disheartened by their bad character traits. It's in a certain way, it's an opportunity. It's a tremendous opportunity. Now, this opportunity, you know, has to be properly harnessed. And this is where we to show the sense of opportunity that there is in the Kayim bloodline. We pointed out before, there's an explosion of technology on that bloodline. But Rashi says that it wasn't for the right reasons. Right? Rashi says, by the kid who was herding, right? Shepherding. The person who's herding, that's also manipulation. If you know how to get a herd to follow you, right? It's basically, that's what we call working the crowd, right? To buy a campaign. The guy who was herding, you know, he developed that technology because he was interested in manipulating people to do idol worship. His brother, who developed music, right? He was interested also in creating music for Avodah Zarah, for idol worship. The one who developed made metalwork, he was interested in developing weaponry for murder. It's an amazing thing. You know, people say, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. It's not true. You know what the mother of invention is? Passion. Passion. Right? You know, a lot of the stuff that we have, all these gadgets, you know where the technology was originally developed? In the Defense Department. It's technology that really developed, you know, for weaponry. You know, so the military develops it X amount of years beforehand, and then the technology, you know, gradually comes down to, right, the public sector. But really, a lot of technological values were, you know, invented for the purpose of killing people. A lot of things are developed out of passion, all types of passions. You know, people are seeking pleasure, and the passion stimulates the mind. Passion stimulates the mind to, because if you're not too passionate, then the mind is, you know, lazy. You know, what causes the mind to think in a certain direction? Certain passion, certain desire, and that's what stimulates the mind. The mind starts cranking away. How can I get it? Right? You know, the Rambam writes in his Hakdamah to Zroim, his Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, he quotes an old Arab saying, if not for the fools, the world will be desolate. Because Rambam there is contemplating the question, why are there billions of people in the world? You know, most of them are useless, totally useless. Right? So the Rambam says like this, right, the truth is, you know, take a look how these people lead their lives, right, in the pursuit of excess. And he gives an example that someone now has to build a large corporation. Why does he want that large corporation? Right, because he wants to live in an amazing house, so he's got to make the money. So he builds the corporation to have the house, right? And now he throws his whole, and that's why sometimes, you know, people, you know, to make their fortune, what do they want to do with their fortune? They want to live in a big house, right? So he throws away years of his life and he destroys his health, building that corporation to have that house, right? And then mid-construction, he might drop dead, right? But why does God tolerate this type of insanity, right? Especially after he ruined his health, he really doesn't need that big house. He won't live, as the Rambam says, won't live out long enough to even wear out a log cabin. He doesn't need a mansion, right? It's insanity. But it caused him to build a corporation. And that amounted to a shell of a house. And says the Rambam, this is a Rambam, says, what happens to that shell? Well, you know, the guy dropped dead when it was under construction. So it went on auction, right? And a younger man in Kailo, you know, bought it for a steal, for nothing. And he finished it, and he put his family there. Or a tzaddik needed it to get out of the rain. And he says, that's what it means. Really, all Kosher really has pleasure from is the four Amos where a person is learning Torah, but the whole world, which is engaged in Meshuggah pursuit of excess wealth, which is Shigaon. He says that's what causes roads to get paved. That's what causes buildings to go up. That's what causes a lot of things, you know, because people are in their pursuit of excess, are building up huge economies that the world doesn't really need for its most basic needs to survive. And because that excess eventually will filter down to those who are learning Torah and wouldn't be able to afford it if not for the fact that there is excess at all these end-of-the-year sales and bashes. It was there in the time of the Rambam also. Right? The excesses go on sale, right? Well, the excess goes on sale when no one wants it anymore, and that's how the Talmidei Chachamim survive. So that means the whole macro economy, global economy, that's built up on the insane drive for excess, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerates it because of the excess that filters down, you know, to those who learn Torah, and they could get it for pennies with all these end-of-the-season sales of all this excess that we never needed in the first place. But the point I made is that the insane drive for excess wealth is what causes, you know, corporations to rise and causes a lot of, you know, creation of industry. And on a deeper level, the greater the passion, the more that the mind is stimulated, right, to go out and produce. Right? And it's the passion. It's these drives. And a person who has no passions, has no drives, doesn't want any excess, right? Just wants the bare minimum because he wants to spend his life just contemplating the greatness of the Creator and doing good deeds. How much does that person need? Pennies. Yaakov Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lechem lecho beged lubosh. Just give me a little bit of bread to eat and some clothes to wear. The tzaddikim don't produce. They really don't contribute too much, and they really don't have their heads in developing technology because they're quite satisfied with their lives. And the mind, you know, has to be stimulated. Right? The passion or the insane drive for excess actually stimulates the mind to develop technology. A person who is happy with the way he's living, right, and has no drives and no passions, his mind will be used for spiritual pursuits or certain intellectual pursuits, but he's not going to be developing new gadgets. And he's not going to be, you know, engaged in developing big industry because he doesn't need it, he doesn't want it. Right? The B'nai Sheis, right, were spiritual people, and that's why they their minds were on God. That's what their minds were on. The B'nai Kain were into, they used their minds in service of their passions. And the passions stimulated the minds to develop. And they were developed for the most basest reasons, for the most evil reasons. But agav that, you know, trickle, you know, once you invent it, you find civilian, you know, regular civilian uses, right, for these things that were developed either for slaughter or for idol worship or for whatever. But here's the thing, right? You know, passion will call you to invent a lot of gadgets, many gadgets that we don't need, and humanity might even be better off without, right? But since the mind is responding to passion, right, so the mind is not thinking how to make the world a better place. The plow is all about making the world a better place, right? And if a person wanted a monopoly on farming, a monopoly on agriculture, then the plow is a tragedy. It broke his monopoly. The ones who are into farming. If you produce the plow, anyone could do his own farming, right? Because there's a machine that makes it doable, right? Easier, right? Otherwise, you don't have time for it because it's too hard for you. You hire someone else to do it, so he has his monopoly. The B'nai Kain missed the plow. Right, because they're into, you know, following their passions. They weren't actually interested in making the world a better place. Right? The B'nai Sheis that did not participate so much in the technological explosion that happened during these generations, but they're the ones who developed the plow because they were thinking about tikkuno shel olam, fixing the world. Right? But it shows an amazing thing that the passions and the bad midos, they're a tremendous source of energy. The problem is when they run unchecked, right? So, you know, there's creativity, but there's creativity for the wrong reasons, right? You know, so a person who has bad character, if a person could just harness it, it could be a tremendous creative force. Because they didn't harness, it wasn't harnessed, it ran amok. So it does stimulate the mind also. Right? So there was a technological explosion, but all for the wrong reasons. Right? Even today, there's amazing gadgets coming out day in and day out. The world would be a better place without them. Right? We have to like burn our phones. We got to get rid of them. It's sick. Took the subway today. Right? No one was talking. A whole car. It was rush hour. Everyone. I don't get it. My today. Yeah. Sick. Right? Yeah, so but these gadgets were developed out of passions, passions, some base ones, dirty ones. But we see that passion is a creative force. Right? But it has to be harnessed. Harnessed means to put under control. Right? Cain's not willing to control himself. The jealous mind, the entitlement mind, takes things, everything is as granted. Everything kommt zu mir, everything belongs to me already. That's why he doesn't like other people. He doesn't tolerate other people. He gets angry. He's willing to murder. The jealous person is willing to murder because he views that his sense of entitlement is being encroached upon by any other human being just by the virtue of fact that human being is alive and functioning. And that's how jealousy easily leads to anger and to murder. Right? And all goes about not accepting the concept that you have to work and you have to earn. And it starts with yourself. You have to work on yourself. There's no entitlement that, well, that's me. That's the way God made me. The sense, overcoming the sense of entitlement, right, and state of being starts with yourself. You have to be willing to overcome your bad midas, your bad character traits, in tative seis. Right? And just the opposite, all the bad meats that you have, that's tremendous energy. That's tremendous energy for creativity, and it's tremendous, it's a cash cow to earn Olam Haba for every bad meter that you overcome. You get paid for that. Every time you control yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you for that. It's a cash cow for earning Olam Haba, and it's tremendous energy that could be harnessed for the good. They didn't harness it for the good. They developed their technology, to fulfill their desires. And to murder, which is the reason why technology is expanding in this day and age, like we explained, what's fueling, new gadgets, yom vayom, chadashim labkarim, new gadgets, is either more things to kill with, or more things to waste your time with, or more things to be dirty with. That's what's pushing technology. No different than for the days of Cain. So the lesson here, over here, is that the... there's a concept that a person has to own, but own by earning. Kana with a hey. Like Cain was originally named, Cain, Miloshin Kana with a hey, but he took it with Kana with an aleph, sense of entitlement, and that's why jealousy, which led to murder. Right? And that's where jealousy takes you. Because right? You have a sense of entitlement, every other human being is a threat to you. Depleting your world. That you feel you're entitled to. Leads to anger, leads to murder. Right? Leads to intolerance. Right? Right? But in the end, if a person, as much as he was born with, negative character traits, right, that he had to overcome, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him that having bad character traits is really to be have tremendous opportunity. Tremendous opportunity for creativity, tremendous opportunity for earning Olam Haba. But it's all about taking control and taking charge and being into the ability to change, acquire, as opposed to entitlement. All right, I've repeated myself a few times. Are there any questions? Yes.
That's right. It's just easier to blame the other person. It's easier to say.
That's right. And that's what Cain did. That's what Cain did. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he dealt with the root of the problem. Cain, you got to work. In Tetiv says, he didn't just say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to give him a Band-Aid. Next time, bring better stuff. No, you know, it's not the real issue. The real issue is that you're not willing to fight your Yetzer. You are just going with what's natural to you, and the whole world has to revolve around that. No, you got to move. You got to change. Got to be willing to overcome your tendencies. And if you overcome your tendencies, you could be greater than Hevel.
Awesome.
Right? Because when the bad midas are turned for the good, right, so then they become annexed onto the goodness. So Hevel had a head start of being a more refined character, right? But if I overcome my bad tendencies, they're not bad anymore. They've been harnessed for the good. And so goes become Tov Ma'od.
Why is it greater than Hevel then?
That's the point. That's what the Rambam says. Why the Baal Tshuva is greater than Tzadik Gomer that never sinned? Because who kofes Yitzro Yoser Mehem? The Rambam says it in Hilchos Tshuva. Because he's going to get paid more because of Kfiyas HaYetzer. Yes. But it's also a certain virtue in conquering your animal side. A person who never had that challenge because he just was born so perfect, he's lacking that merit. He's lacking that virtue. He has not acquired the virtue of self-control if he never had the challenge. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
You said that Cain inherited evil from Chava?
Yes. Yes, he got... Now listen, you're a mother?
No.
Okay. We have kids, you know. No two kids are equal. You know, that's part of the entitlement nonsense. Everyone's equal, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's different. And everyone has their own unique challenges. And everyone has, therefore, their own unique opportunities for creativity and earning, as we're pointing out. Unique opportunities for... No, I have, Leonora, 7 children, right? No two are the same. And one has the hang-ups that the other one doesn't have. And one... Yeah. Between all 7, I think we have every single hang-up on the globe, right? But everyone has their own... everyone's born different. It's not true. You know, we are all equally children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but no two people are equal. And that's right. Cain got, he did get a raw deal, as it were, but not really. And that's what HaKadosh was trying to tell him. Hevel's card was accepted because he was born better than you. That's the way you're thinking, but it's not true. In Tetiv says, if you work and you do good, things will be good. You know, Hevel was accepted because he overcame, he could have given something mediocre, and he gave the best. And for that, you know, going that extra mile, that's why his crown was accepted. You gave what you felt like giving. And that's why. You think Hevel got because I love Hevel and I hate you and for no reason. No, it's because he does more. You do more, you'll get more. And everyone's, you know, what's called to do more is all relative to the circumstances that they've been dealt. You know, it's a good thing we're still here because there's a Vilna Gaon in Mishle, in his Pirush on Mishle, that says the whole purpose of why people have lifespan, right, is for the purpose of fixing their bad midas, fixing their bad character traits. And if you're still alive today, right, it's because you still have a character trait you haven't finished yet. You haven't corrected yet. Right? So that doesn't mean you should therefore pace it and take your time and correct it. Right.
Why not?
No, but his point over there is that therefore you have to always be mitametz, always, you know, be very vigilant on tikkun amidas, because that's the whole purpose of lifespan. The purpose of lifespan is that there's still some character trait that you could improve upon. And you haven't done so yet, so God is giving you more time on earth to do that. Right? So that's like he said, Tachlis Achaim. It's a very sobering anecdote in connection to this in a biography of Rav Shach. So there's a story there that Rav Chaim Freelander, who was the Mashgiach in Ponovich, he's the one who printed all the Ramchal Svarim, you know, the green ones. He was the one who did a tremendous chesed to the door. And brought the works of the Ramchal out of obscurity and edited them and printed them. And that's why they are learned today in yeshivas. And he was dying. And he went into Rav Shach And he said something to Rav Shach. People saw it. He went into Rav Shach, and he Rav Shach told him something. And, you know, rather he told something to Rav Shach, and another person, Rav Shach, burst out crying, and Rav Shach said, Tikkun Amidus, Tikkun Amidus. So the person who saw it from afar, so he just saw Rav Chaim Flander, who was, you know, bald, totally bald from chemotherapy. I walked into Rav Shach, mumbled something to Rav Shach, the guy sitting next to Rav Shach burst out crying, and Rav Shach said, Tikkun Amidus. Tikkun Amidus. So he asked Rav Chaim Flander, you know, what happened in there? He said, the doctor just gave me 2 weeks to live. That's all I have. So I went to Rav Shach. I have 2 weeks left. What should I do? I have 2 weeks left. What do I do? And that's why that guy burst out crying. You know, heard, you know, man just came to Rav Shach, he has 2 weeks to live. And Rav Shach said, Tikkun Amidus. Working on refining your character, you work on that till the last moment on earth. Right? And that's kind of what's with it. The entitlement mind says, that's me. That's me, and everything is coming to me. That's the kind mentality. Right? Perverse, you know, perversion of the idea of ownership, of kana with a hay. But kana with a hay of ownership comes through kinyan, through acquisition and through hard work. And first and foremost, hard work on yourself. He just wants it to be granted. The jealous mind is the entitlement mind. Right? Just prevalent sickness. Right? But the bad midas that you're born with, you have to realize that, you know, a person should never, you know, and all the svarim say this, the Chassidus svarim in particular, the bad midas is not something that should put a person in despair. Right? Bad midas are, it's a cash cow to earn olam haba, earn a lot of olam haba, and it's energy for creativity. Right? But Cain wasn't interested in working, he was interested in having. The person who wants to have, as opposed to earn, that's the jealous person. And that's the person that views the rest of humanity as a threat, and that's a person jealous. Jealousy leads to intolerance, which leads to murder. Hashem Yisbarach Shmo Yatzir. Okay, thank you very much.